So, do you believe that you've got a calling on your life? Who does believe they've got a calling on their life? Do you know what your calling is? I see that face. Good. I've had many conversations with individuals over many years, and it usually centers around the fact that they feel ineffective for God. Can you relate to that type of conversation? I feel like I've missed my calling. I don't know what to do. I don't think that I'm effective for God where I'm at. So sometimes I get the idea that people perceive calling as that they have to navigate through a maze, the maze of life. And when you get through this maze, on the other side, God will show you your calling, or you'll know what your calling is. So you have to navigate this maze, the twists and the turns and the dead ends. And these twists and turns and dead ends are all the decisions you have to make every day. What job do I take? You know, what will best put me into the favor of God? What do I need to study? Where do I need to live? You know, all of these questions, the list goes on and on. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like you? Have you ever asked these questions now or before? Or are you going to ask this question? We don't know. We can't predict the future. But maybe you will ask this question. So you wonder what God is calling you to. You wonder what you must do in order to walk out God's calling for your life. And you wonder why it feels so difficult to find your calling. Is God hiding it from you? So this morning, I would just like to challenge our perspective on our calling. So what it is and what it isn't. However, there is one thing we need to understand with great certainty before we even start looking at our calling. And that is our purpose. Because the calling that we have is an outworking of our purpose. So if we don't understand our purpose, which is the source, then we cannot understand our calling. So let's quickly take a dictionary definition of these two words, purpose and calling. So purpose says the reason for which something exists. Okay, purpose is the reason for which something exists. Calling. Okay, this is a long one, so bear with me. Set your ears, listen. I'm going to read it twice. A strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action. A strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action. But it goes on. This is dictionary definition. It's not theological. This is Merriam-Webster. Especially when accompanied by conviction of a divine influence. That's a calling. That's what the Merriam-Webster says. I'm going to read it again. A strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by a conviction of a divine influence. That's our calling. Okay, that's my service. Thank you. No, just jokes. I've got a lot more. Lucky for you. So, purpose and calling is not the same thing. It's not the same thing. But we all have a purpose, and we all have a calling. So by the end of this message, I hope you will understand what our purpose is and what our calling is. So only those 2 points, if you get those 2 points from the service. So what is our purpose? Referring back to the definition in the dictionary, it's the reason for which something exists. So what do you think we exist for? Simple question. It's the question that millions of people have asked for centuries. Why are we here? What is our purpose? Does anybody think they know our purpose on this earth? Ria, I see that hand. I won't ask you to. Cool. Chief End of Man. See, somebody's been reading the Westminster Shorter Catechism in your spare time. Yeah. So, what is our purpose? A.W. Tozer, I don't know if you know A.W. Tozer, great theologian, American theologian, wrote many books. He writes the following. In his book, Experiencing the Presence of God, he says, very simply put, the great passion in the heart of every human being who are created in the image of God is to experience the awesome majesty of His presence. The highest accomplishment of humanity is entering the overwhelming presence of God. A.W. Tozer. Then we go to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is what Rhea just quoted. So she got it from John Piper. John Piper got it from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It is a set of 107 questions and answers set up in 1647. And it deals with a whole bunch of theological questions and answers and concepts in order to explain and make an exposition of these theological points. So it's sort of like the Heidelberg Catechism, the Heidelbergse Catechismus, wat ons ken. It's much the same as that. So the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the main question and answer of the 107 questions in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is our purpose. I'm going to read it again. What is the chief end or the main purpose of man? Man's chief end or main purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's what we must do. That's why we are created. So we all share this one single purpose. I don't have a different purpose to Rudy. We all have the same purpose. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's why we are created. That's why we exist. We exist to worship, love, glorify, and enjoy God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, for all eternity. That is why we are created. Just think about that for a moment. The weight of this purpose that we were created for. And we are the only of God's creation that has this purpose. The weight is just so enormous. But I could probably just stop this message right now. But let's push forward into uncharted territory. Now that we know our purpose and what we are to do to glorify God for all and enjoy Him for all eternity, the next question is, how do we do this? How do we glorify God? And this is where our calling comes in. So you see why we first had to go and gaan haal het aan 'n kant die berg. We first had to understand our purpose. Now we can get to the calling. To glorify God, how do we do this? All of us are created uniquely. I think we can all agree on that. We all are a totally unique combination of God's grace, God's love, our talents, the things we're good at, our gifts, our personality, our spiritual gifts, everything that makes you uniquely you. And that is how we glorify God. That is what God uses in our calling so that we can glorify Him uniquely. So our calling is the outworking, the outwalking, and the outliving of our purpose to glorify God. Our calling is how we do this every day in spirit and in truth, in everything we do with devoted hearts and with pure motives. So our calling flows from our purpose. We all have the same purpose, but how we accomplish this purpose looks different for everybody. So the previous message I preached was on 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Preached on the 2nd of August. We didn't have a service last week. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. And it says, by the grace of God, that's what Paul writes. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. Beautiful words. It really struck my heart when I read that verse. By God's grace, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. He didn't pour out His grace on me all the time in vain. The heart of that message was about being in God's grace and allowing God's grace to change us daily more and more into the likeness of His Son, Jesus. So that was the part one. You know, in a way, this is a part two to that same message. And the link from that message to today's message is this. Is that if you are in God's grace, if you can truly say that you are today who you are by God's grace alone, and if you have allowed and are allowing God's grace to change you daily more and more into the likeness of His Son Jesus, you know what? You're already in a position where you're walking out God's call for your life. Are you still with me? Am I taking you along on this journey? I don't want to lose you by the wayside. Thank you. Can't read faces and expressions. Most of you have masks. It's quite... Cease for you, William. Sit them up. Cut that out, John. So, are you all still with me? I hope so. Purpose versus calling. Just a quick recap before we get into the next bit. We all have a purpose and we all have a calling. We all have the same purpose, but the calling looks different for all of us. Our calling is lived and worked out through our uniqueness, through the uniqueness that God created us to be, the unique combination of everything that makes you, you. You still with me? Thank you. So, let's discuss just some points around calling. Maybe some points around what it is and some points around what it isn't. Number one, and this is an important one. If you truly live to glorify God, truly, what is the main first outworking, outliving, outflowing thing that you will do? I'm going to give you a hint. It's the Great Commission. If you truly, truly love God, truly love Him above everything else, you will tell people, you will, I'll use the word evangelize. You know, but again, you don't have to have an evangelism gift. Evangelism is just telling people about Jesus. telling him about what he has done in your life, telling him how much you love him, how much his grace has meant in your life. Simple evangelism. So if you truly love God, you will evangelize. It's natural. It's not a command. Now you do this, then you will do this. It will be a natural, grace-filled outflowing from your life to tell people about Jesus. Because you love him. You tell people about your wife and your children, or your husband and your children. You do. People don't know me for 5 years only to find out, oh, are you married? Yeah. You tell people because you love them. Natural outflowing. Nobody tells me, now you must tell people. Remember, when you go into a conversation, you must tell people about Simon. Remember this. I'm like, okay. Mental note. Tell people about my wife. Mental note.
Okay, I'm belaboring this point a bit too much. But you get the point.
You will tell people about Jesus. It's a natural outworking of your calling. Natural.
However, this is equally as important. It is not the single most important thing or the single goal of our calling. Bear with me. Point number two. Our calling is also for the benefit of this, of the church, of your fellow believers. That's God's design. He designed church to be his bride. And he gave gifts. It's one of many of the preaches that Stefan preached in the beginning of this year. As each part does its bit in the body, we're all part of the same body. And every part of the body is to use his gift for the building up and the encouragement of the rest of the body. It is lived out. Our calling is found and lived out in the local church. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. Sorry. This thing has got a very wide angle lens. I'm barely in front of it. Sorry. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. As each has received a gift, we are all unique. We've all received something from God. Use it to serve one another. This one another is for the believers. Peter wrote this book, 1 Peter, to the believers, and he sent it around to 5 churches. So to be read in all of those churches. It was written for the believers. Serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, what? God may be glorified through Jesus. So our calling and the use of our talents and our gifts is also for the benefit of the building up and the encouragement of the believers. And this is a glory to God. Point number three. I think this is also an important one. Our calling is not always clear and directional. God doesn't always write your calling with his finger in the clouds with an arrow, go this way. For examples of directional calling, and we have many in the Bible, think Paul, where God broke into his reality on his way to Damascus. Paul and everybody with him, Saul at that time, before he got renamed, they audibly heard the voice of God. And Paul got struck blind. And we know what happened after that. He turned his life around for Jesus. And he went on to write almost about half the books in the New Testament. Think Gideon, who was afraid. He was threshing wheat in a wine press, which was at that time something that was cut into the rock. So he was hiding away from the Midianites. And an angel suddenly appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Sure. Imagine the Lord appears to me and says that. I would be as scared as Gideon. Gideon said, No, you've got the wrong man. I'm the least of my family, and my family is the least of my clan, and my clan is the least of Israel. And the angel said, "You will save the Israelites from the hand of Midian." Clear, directional calling on his life. David, a shepherd boy, tending to the flock in the fields. Suddenly someone comes and fetch him. "Oh, David, they want to make you king over God's people. Come. And they anointed him king over all of Israel. And he was a young boy. Clear directional calls happen, but not for everybody. You will know when it happens in your life. You won't have to search for it. Paul didn't search for that. God appeared to him. Gideon didn't search for it. The angel of the Lord appeared right before him. Point number four, which leads from point number three. You don't have to have a specific calling in order to do amazing things for God. Acts 11, verse 19 to 21. Sorry. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews." So just a bit of background. There was a lot of persecution of Christians in Jerusalem at that time. So a lot of the Christians fled. They left their homes. They left everything behind. They left their jobs, their safety, their security. And they just fled. But they didn't forsake Jesus. They were speaking the word as everywhere they went, but only to the Jews. Verse 20, "But there were some of them, regular Joes, we don't even know their names, no specific calling over their lives, they didn't attend the church planters course, oh Lord, I feel so stirred to plant a church, but I haven't done a church planters course." They had none of that. They were just Jesus-loving saints. "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, the Greeks, the heathens of the day, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." Some of them, no specific calling over their life. They just loved Jesus. And they were just obedient in telling everybody about the amazing things that Jesus has done for them. So the two amazing things about the church in Antioch that these, some of them, accomplished is that it was the very first non-Jewish church in the history of the church. And that was the church where the followers of Christ first got the name Christian, that are still used to this day. And that came from the church of Antioch that some of them planted. Number five, always done. Number five, God's calling is always present tense. So that shoots that picture of the maize out of the water. You don't have to navigate a lot of stuff before you get to the calling on the other side. It's always now. God, you are walking in your calling. God is using you where you are. It is being worked out right where God has placed you. Don't wait for God's call. Be faithful right where you are.
I've got one or two testimonies to share about my own journey. I'll get there now.
God is sovereign, and in His sovereignty, He will use you and He will use your talents. Psalm 32, verse 7.
That doesn't look like the right verse. I've got a different translation, or it's a different verse that I maybe have given you. My apologies, John. The verse I've got says, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." And Proverbs 16, verse 9, let's see if that one came out right. Yes, that one's what I needed. The heart of man plans his way. So you may think that you're trying to plan your thing, that you want to make the decisions to put you into the place where God's called you to. But what? But the Lord establishes your steps. So wherever you are, God is sovereign and He will use you right there. You may make your plans, but the Lord establishes your steps. For some of us, our job is our calling. If you're a pastor, like Stefan, full-time pastor, that is his calling. If you're a nurse and you've felt from a small age that you love to just nurse people and have a heart of compassion, and you knew that you knew that you knew that you wanted to become a nurse, and you grow up and you take your subject choices in school to go and study for a nurse, and you study for a nurse and you become a nurse, and every morning you get up, you're excited because you're a nurse. Your job is your calling. But your job doesn't have to be your calling. You could also be faithful in your calling in your current job. For some of us, the exact job we do isn't as important, as long as you're faithful with what God has given you. As long as your heart and your purpose is to glorify God above all, then your specific job doesn't matter as much. I want to say that because people get stuck on that sometimes. So just a quick 2-minute testimony from my side. So when I needed to make my choices, what to go and study, what subjects to take at school, whatever, I didn't even know Jesus. I wasn't saved. So none of my choices I made took into account anything that Jesus wanted for my life. So I made a choice of what I wanted to study, where I wanted to study, based on other factors. My interests, also the potential to make money at that stage. You know, you have to do something to support your family. So I made those choices. I had 2 failed first years. It was the 2 best first years of my life. I'm not proud. So moving swiftly along. But again, I wasn't saved, so I didn't honor the Lord in those days of my life. And in the end, I stopped studying at that institution, and I went to study at a different institution for my 3rd first year. And there I met my wife. Without me making any choices that honored God. You look at my life at that stage, and I was so far from honoring God. Messing about, messing my parents' money, living a life that wasn't honoring to God in any way. But I still
met my wife after 2 failed years of first year. I went on to make myself a career in IT, computer science. I worked in a corporate company far, far away from the world of the ministry. And then I encountered Jesus. And when I encountered Jesus, there was a prophecy over me that said, you will be in ministry. I'm calling you to ministry. I didn't study ministry. I didn't scarcely know Jesus for like a day at that stage. None of my decisions that I made took Jesus into account or anything that he wanted for my life. And here I am, 16 years later, preaching the word to you guys. By the grace of God. The heart of man plans his way. I planned my way, but who established my steps? Who led me to this point? Through all of my failures, through all of my wrong turns, the Lord established my steps. And even your corporate work, that has got nothing to do with ministry. I live out the ministry. In fact, I prayed for a guy on Friday. Not purposefully, so that I could use it now on Sunday. But his wife is very sick. She's got terminal cancer. And they are faced with tough decisions on which treatment route to take, all of which have grave risks for her, basically. Now, we've never shared a Jesus moment, really. He's dropped Jesus a couple of times, you know, we prayed about it or something. So I don't know what their real convictions are. But in the moment, when he called me and said, yeah, look, we're struggling with this, so I'm sorry if I may seem a bit absent. I said, I want to pray for you. And I prayed for him over Zoom. Corporate. You don't have to be in ministry. Even virtually, you pray for people. God creates opportunities for you right where you are to do what He wants you to do. So again, calling, present tense. Wherever you are, God will use you. As we draw to a close, just recapping 2 things. Our purpose, above all, is to glorify God. Remember this. It should be clear to you for the rest of your life. Don't ever, ever wonder again. If anybody asks you, it should be an automatic answer. Why are we here? To glorify God and enjoy Him for all eternity. Never doubt, never wonder. And your calling is unique to you. Don't wait for your calling. Don't fear that you've missed your calling. Just be faithful where you are, and God, in His sovereignty, will use you. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, if you truly love God and truly glorify Him above all, and we know that for those who love God, all things will work together for good. Get this part. For those who are called according to His purpose. God calls you for His purpose, to glorify Him.